Welcome to Business Ninjas, brought to you by Right For Me, where you'll hear from business leaders who are out there growing their business and slaying it every day. Learn from the masters. Let's get started.
Thanks for joining us today on Business Ninjas. We're excited to have you on the show and looking forward to learning more. Why don't we start by just getting the basics out of the way? So tell us your role in the company, the name of the company, and the website.
Yeah, sure thing. I appreciate you having me, Jamie. The company name is Power. My name is Mick. I'm growth marketing manager for Power, but we have a Swiss Army knife kind of setting with marketing. So I do a little bit of it all, and we get really good feedback from our product team, from design. Everyone is involved, which is really unique, I think, from my experience in the past. I came from marketing and sales in direct business sales in health insurance and healthcare specifically. So transitioning from that over to the fully remote online SaaS world last year was quite the shock. It's interesting though, because there's a lot of tactics. I've been in marketing and sales since 1999, and there's a lot of stuff that from 20 years ago that applies even today. So it's been an interesting addition talking to those that are, you know, in their early 20s to someone who's nearly 50, and we can jam on the same subject because we understand just in a different way. So it's kind of neat to blend those two worlds together.
Right on. That's great. And just to kind of level set for everybody, maybe you can give us sort of the elevator pitch for the company and position it that way.
Yeah, well, actually, I've been toying around with a tagline or what have you. But the basis of the company and what I'm working with from a language perspective is we help turn your small business into a big one. And that's pretty much what we do. We work exclusively with small companies, solopreneurs, online e-commerce shop owners. That's really our bread and butter, I think, are the e-commerce online shop owners. Mm-hmm. That's where we seem to get a solid footing, because the company is built on the premise that you don't need an expensive web development team to make a badass website to generate sales and leads. So our product is fully custom, no code website applications that are embedded in real time. They can be edited in minutes and even wow. Edited live for that matter. So we're just on the other side of what would be considered an extension or a plugin. Uh-huh. We get that terminology a lot, but we're true website applications that are hard coded into your site without needing a developer or coding knowledge.
Wow. Okay. And are there certain portions of the business that you're focused on? So, you know, there's lots of different, you know, it could be operations, it could be HR, it could be sales and biz dev, like where do you plug in terms of the life cycle of a company?
Probably more so on, I would say mid to bottom funnel. Okay. Most likely. We do have apps that are relevant to top funnel, like social feed, different sorts of social media integrations, email marketing, things like that. But most of our products are built on driving new sales.
Yep.
And getting those carts empty and cash flow moving forward.
Right. Okay. And I wonder, you know, it sounds like you have a lot going on there. What was the vision when the company started versus kind of where you are today and where you're headed for the rest of the year? What's that arc been like, and where are you going?
Yeah, I actually just learned the full origin story at our yearly summit in Toronto just a few weeks ago, where I found out that the two co-founders of the company, Josh May and Ben Ross, both San Francisco guys, had built the company from a pizza shop. Wow. A local pizza shop there in town that just didn't have much of a web presence. The guy, you know, relied solely on word of mouth and the orientation within the city. So they took a look at his website and fixed his website on a laptop there at the restaurant. And they realized there's probably a lot of businesses that could use this kind of help too. So of course, went down the road of research and market surveys and so forth. And naturally, there's over 30 million small businesses in the U.S. alone. And most of them, you know, get their wife or their kid to help them with their website or their Facebook page. What if there was a tool that didn't require any particular help that these folks could do on their own? And that was kind of how it got started. It really morphed into more of the e-commerce online shop world whenever we integrated with Wix and WordPress, obviously two of the biggest website builders out there. I think it's important to note that we don't build websites. We just make them better.
Right.
Once we got into those marketplaces, it was a free product. We still, every one of our apps are free forever. If you don't want to pay for it, you don't have to. And so we're, you know, the traditional freemium model. And then the upgraded services have, you know, more features, less limitations. So that was kind of how it scaled. To this day, 60% of our users don't pay us anything. So we just really stuck with our customer support to move the company ahead. And then those that started to see some movement with their online store on the free version, hey, what if I give the, you know, pro example a try for $4 a month? And then it just naturally scales itself from there.
Right.
So that was kind of where it took off. Then we got into other countries, and then it really skyrocketed whenever COVID came around for most folks, as you would imagine.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So what's your geographic footprint look like now? It sounds like you might be all over the globe, but kind of, you know, where's the sweet spot as you move around the world?
We are. In fact, I just did a dive with our, what we call our data ninjas, actually, to get into our analytics for 2022. And we're in 172 countries on every continent but Antarctica right now. Obviously, sweet spot is US and Canada, but we have a really solid foothold in the UK, India, Australia, and New Zealand have really popped off this last year. But yeah, we're all over the world.
That's fantastic. And how do you differentiate yourselves out from other options that SMBs might be considering?
That's been the difficult play and kind of what they brought me in for, because the majority of our customers find us through different app marketplaces, especially on the website builders. They seems like they don't even know that they're using Power. They download a pop-up or a form builder on Wix, and they just think it's a Wix product.
Oh.
So we've really been trying to identify our brand identity outside of the app marketplaces most recently. So it has been a struggle, as large a footprint as we have, understanding that what you're using is a Power product has been what I've been working on since I started last May.
Wow. I mean, that's a great problem to have, though. They already have the technology, right? So
I think that's our biggest challenge. Other companies that are in our category have done a really good job of establishing their brand identity earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of what we consider competitors now that clearly followed our design and our model. They just did a better job with their brand identity than we did.
I see.
That's our number one challenge and goal right now.
Gotcha. Okay. And it sounds like you said you guys had a big bump during COVID, which I could imagine, right? There's a big rush to go online. So what was that experience like? I mean, on the one hand, you've got unprecedented environment to operate in, and on the other, boy, you're helping people navigate through it. So what was that experience like?
As with most companies, it was a tremendous amount of growth. It was before my time, but from what I understand, we doubled in size as far as headcount is concerned. It's a really interesting story. Our largest number of employees are in Kazakhstan, and it was an absolute accident. Basically, we hired someone that was on a work visa in San Francisco, and she had to go back to her home country, but we didn't want to lose her because she was just really good at her job. So we opened an office in Kazakhstan, and over that time period, we hired 22 more people.
Wow.
So we have an office of 23 people in Kazakhstan. It's exactly 12 hours ahead of us in time. So it's interesting how that workflow happens. But the good news was that even with that tremendous growth, we did not see any sort of dip in customer support. Our product team kept on track with their roadmap for those years, and we've continued to build ever since then. So we've not experienced the bubble burst that I'm sure you're aware of going on now.
Yeah.
In fact, we're still hiring. So we still had revenue positive 2022 and adding headcount in 2023. So we made it through in a really, really good way, it feels like.
That's great. Wow. Right on. And what When you look across the SMB landscape, that's a widely diverse pool to play in. Is there sort of an ideal customer type for you, or a certain size or vertical where that's the sweet spot, or is it just all across the board?
It's we've identified our ICP, and we technically have three separate that we've kind of identified. Number one being the solopreneur, the individual shop owner, as our number one customer, just from a sheer volume perspective. Then secondly, and one that we're working on, working toward more right now, is more of your SMB to SME, 10 to 30 employees. They probably have a marketing team, or at least a marketing person. They just don't have the IT infrastructure to improve on. It's a bit of a different sell, and even a bit different sort of content that we serve to those guys. And then third, that we just identified since I started, are agencies, companies that specialize in website
Oh,
optimization.
right.
We
Okay.
learned that we had nearly 1,000 customers that fit that model, that we currently were not serving efficiently with our products. So we decided last year to build something brand new, because even though they only make up less than 1% of our total customer base, they made up over 30% of our revenue. So we obviously needed to speak directly
Yeah.
with those guys, right?
Yeah.
So we've kind of separated into three different categories there.
Wow. Okay, that's great. Geez, that's an exciting opportunity to get the agency business up and going.
Tough
And
nut to
then,
crack, but it's fun to try, right?
yeah, absolutely. And what's the strategy been for outreach to let folks know that you exist, either at the marketplace level or now, that you've kind of got this installed base that you got to let them know who you are and that sort of thing? Is there a strategy that you're looking at for 2023 to get the word out?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the first things that I noticed when I came in, two things I should say. The first was we really did not do any sort of industry segmentation, which I didn't understand from the company I came from. It was all about speaking to an individual industry. So that was number one, is that we're starting to carve up our targets based on industry, as opposed to really anything else, to be honest with you, because that drives the content, the creative, all of those things. Number two is that we did $0 in advertising up until this year. Our customer acquisition cost is 21 cents.
Wow.
We average 58 new paying customers a week, and that's with no marketing spend at all.
Dang.
We didn't even have any SEO officially until last year. So that's been probably the biggest change, is actually allocating dollars to marketing to reach those more upmarket style customers. And building our content and our design, our ad design strategy to speak specifically to those industries that we identified as major drivers, such as like the clothing and accessories is one. We have a huge segment of construction and home repair style businesses. We have a good subset of the medical field, small like doctor's offices, dentists, things like that. So those are the ones we're really aiming toward. And then pet supplies and pet shop owners. We have thousands of customers that's their business. So luckily the data was there prior. It wasn't being leveraged in a particular way to speak to those audiences within their industry subset.
Interesting. Okay, that's a big remit. That's going to be exciting. And what social media channels are you active in?
Right now we're mostly on just the basics: Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. We obviously we have our biggest following on Facebook just because we've been there the longest, I think.
Right.
We get the most engagement from Twitter. There was a market research study that I read from 2022 that Twitter and TikTok is now taking over that, but Twitter was the number two channel, social channel for B2B marketing, from an engagement standpoint.
Wow.
And it's proving true for us as well. So those are our main channels. We do have a TikTok. The young lady that was running that, she was in England and took another opportunity last year. So it's sitting kind of dormant. But that's something I want to reinvigorate as well, is TikTok.
Wow, right on. All right. Well, thanks for spending the time to get us up to speed here. It's going to be fun watching you guys go to ever greater heights in 2023. Sounds like it's going to be an exciting path for you. So congrats on that. And thanks again for coming aboard.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. You can find us at power.io and find all the information that you need. And you can find me on all the social channels as well. I'd love to meet with you guys.
Right on. Thanks, Mick.
Thanks a lot, Jamie. Have a good one.
You bet.
Hey, are you a business ninja? Want to be interviewed like this? Give us a shout. Go to www.writeforme.io, WRITEFORME.io, and schedule a time to meet with us, and we'll make it happen. Keep slaying it, y'all.